The school curriculum issued instruments to children and taught them music. And by the time they were in middle school, they began having concerts. So as Paul approached that time of his first concert, you can imagine the parents, like, so excited to hear him. We're really proud of him. He's a drummer by nature. He drummed on everything his whole life. And here at last, he was going to be in a common band, a common orchestra. And so we gathered to hear them play, and there were tubas and trumpets and flutes, and there's Paul in the percussion section, and they began to play that famous classical piece, Hot Cross Buns. You might remember it. Catherine's going to play it for us. Beautiful, except it did not sound like that. It sounded something like this. No, it didn't sound like that. Because, see, these instruments were in the same room, and they had the same music in front of them. They even had the same band instructor, but it sounded, well, can you do it? Except there were trumpets and tubas, and so it was really loud and really bad. And here's what I learned that day. Paul, by the way, was brilliant. Here's what I learned that day. Just because you have a trumpet, it doesn't mean you're a musician. A trumpet in the hands of a sixth grader is like a weapon. It's really, really bad. But you know, there are kids that stuck with it, right? And if you go to the band concerts in high school, you find that those students that took home instruments in grade 3 and 4 and practiced at home and worked their way up to that god-awful concert in junior high, they actually become musicians. And I think this is a really apt metaphor for us. Because when we're born, God hands out trumpets and tubas and drums to each of us. It's actually more like we are those things. That God makes of us instruments and places us in a common band. But we're a lot like those kids at that first concert, because human beings are born curved in on themselves. You know, we're born to seek our comfort zone and to not push too much outside of it. I know this to be true for myself. Like, when I'm done with my workday, you know what I like to do? Nothing. Nothing. I don't even like to work in my garden, really. I just like to be in my garden and have it be beautiful. And the only reason I work in my garden is because the only way it's going to be beautiful is if I work in it. But I like to do nothing. I like to just enjoy life and to be comfortable where I am. I like good food. I like a beautiful garden. I like a nice and purposeful TV show, and I like my husband to be right next to me, and I like my son to come down for dinner, and I like it how I like it. And that's how we are. When we extend ourselves at all, it's usually just to expand our comfort zone so that we can like more things and be comfortable with more things. But that is really like God turning us into instruments, but us not coming to band practice. Because God intends for us to be instruments in a common band for a common purpose. And of course, God's purpose is for us to love one another. The scriptures, especially in the New Testament, are filled with that phrase and filled with that action and filled with examples of people learning to step outside of their comfort zone and learn to love one another. Jesus himself is really master at that. When he sees people who are outcast, he doesn't wait for them to get themselves cleaned up so they might be worthy enough to come back into community. He actually goes to them where they are and brings healing to them. He goes to them where they are and brings the word of God. He holds up a mirror to people so they can see their sinfulness and how they've been judging one another. He lays hands on lepers. I don't know that we get the full significance of that, so I'll tell you. He puts his hands on people who have communicable diseases without a thought or care that he might catch them himself. Now, I don't like that. I like my garden and my tea and my TV shows. But when I live my life like that, I'm like a tuba playing next to a trumpet, and we each have our own music, and we're playing at the same time and inflicting a really bad version of hot cross buns on everyone who can hear. See, God just doesn't make us instruments, but God is actually the wind. God is the music. God is the conductor, if you will. But we are able to go off in the world with our own instruments, blow our own air, create our own music, and create disasters in the world. And we need not look too far to see them. They're all around us. But God is calling us to love. And love means my garden is too small for the life to which God has called me. My living room doesn't have enough seats in it to accommodate the life to which God has called me. And the music that I can create on my own is too stilted and out of tune for the music God wants me to play. In fact, the source of my playing is too selfish. And I have to give up something of that comfort that I know for a glorious life, for the big life to which God has called me. You have to give up something in order to be part of God's orchestra. You have to give up something in order to learn to play the instrument that God is fashioning you into. The thing we most need to give up, all of us, is judgment. Our judgment of others really stands in the way. What I think about people who are other races, other ages, other origins, other sexualities, is really in the way. You know, we're called to cross boundaries, to go to where people are suffering. But the biggest change I've seen in this place happened when other people crossed the boundary into our place to come and meet us. I'm speaking, of course, about the Turkish community, about the Islamic community. They came to Christian worship to talk to the pastors. And I often marvel at how much guts that took, how much courage and chutzpah. But they did it because they understand that there's one orchestra, there's one world, there's one piece of music, and there's one Spirit of God that gives life to that music. 4 or 5 years ago that happened. Last night, Pastor Phil and I and the Maunulas and the Zizers, we went to Iftar, if you can imagine this. We participated in the fasting of Ramadan and went to the breaking of the fast at a street dinner in the home of Turkish Muslims. People asked me, did you fast? I said, I tried. Do you know how hard it is to fast from 4:30 in the morning to 9:30 at night? That's what they're doing right now. And you know why they fast? Because they're trying to keep the stomach in its place. They're trying to conquer the desire of the organ that would have them live for themselves, so they might experience spiritual growth and depth and learn the music of the God who wants us all to be one. And at the end of the time, you know who they asked to pray? Who has two thumbs and was there? You know, when we step out of our comfort zone, when we accept invitation, when we cross boundaries, when we find our courage and go to those who are not like us, what we find are honor and respect and commonality. We find unity and common purpose. We learn to play hot cross buns the way an orchestra would, to step outside of ourselves and become the people God is calling us to be. And that's what Pentecost is really about. Jesus says, I have so many more things to tell you, but you're not ready to hear it. Sometimes I wonder if we're ready to hear that Christianity and Islam are one. They're one. I sometimes wonder if we're ready to hear that Canada and the U.S. are one. Because there's parts of those statements that we don't like. But we're called to step into those relationships not with judgment, but with openness and acceptance. And when we do, we change one another. See, the parts that are incongruent with me and Islam get addressed. It's like they hold up a mirror to me and they show me how my fasting is really ridiculous in comparison to theirs. I fast like a kindergartner compared to what they do. And as Jesus calls me to cross boundaries, when I'm with them, I realize that I don't like to do that very much. But their witness to me calls me to be a better Christian. It calls me to interpret the scriptures in light of love and hopefulness and unity, to see myself as an instrument in a band and an orchestra that's much bigger than I thought it was. See, that orchestra I'm playing in, it's not just the orchestra of the clergy, nor the orchestra of Christianity. I'm called and you're called to be instruments in the orchestra of all humanity, empowered by the love and the breath of the Holy Spirit, who causes us to be more than we thought. I didn't tell him what his cue was, and now he knows. It's this.
From a distance, the world looked blue and green, and the snow-capped mountains white. From a distance, the ocean meets the stream, and the eagle takes to flight. From a distance, there is harmony, and it echoes through the land. It's the voice of hope. It's the voice of peace. It's the voice of everyone. From a distance, we all have enough, and no and there are no guns, no bombs, and no disease, no hungry mouths to feed. From a distance, we are instruments marching in a common band, playing songs of hope, playing songs of peace. They're the songs of us. God is watching us. God is watching us from a distance. From a distance, you look like my friend, even though we are at war. From a distance, I just cannot comprehend what all this war is for. From a distance, there echoes through the land. It's the hope of hopes, it's the love of loves, it's the heart of everyone. It's the hope of hopes, it's the love of loves. This is the song of everyone. God is watching us. God is watching us, God is watching us from a distance. Oh, God is watching us, God is watching us, God is watching us from a distance. I invite you to sing along with the chorus. God is watching us, God is watching us, God is watching us. Oh, God is watching us, God is watching us, God is watching us from a distance.